everybody. Welcome to the Good Evening Kitties podcast. Thanks for listening. My name is Melissa. I'm your ghostess with the mostest. And today's episode is season 1, episode 4, Only Sin Deep. I'm going to do a review here of this episode. Let's go ahead and get into it. So I'm going to go ahead and read from the back of the video. Here I have all the seasons on a set. So, Only Sin Deep. The screenplay is by Fred Decker. It is directed by Howard Deutsch, or Deutsch. Deutsch, probably. He directed Pretty in Pink and The Replacements, among a couple other movies, and probably many movies, but Pretty in Pink and The Replacements. It originally aired June 14th, 1989, and here's what it says. A call girl plans to land a rich playboy and pawns her beauty in order to dress to impress. What? She misunderstands the pawn shop's refund offer? Too late to read between the lines and wrinkles, girly. Okay, and this episode is pretty, it's a pretty good episode. It's definitely entertaining. It stars Leah Thompson, that you would know from, she was in, the Back to the Future franchise. She was Caroline and Caroline in the City on TV. It also has Britt Leach in it. He was from movies like Baby Boom and The Great Outdoors. And Brett Cullen, who's from TV's Under the Dome and Ghost Rider, among other things. And so let's go ahead and get into the show here. So it starts out, Crypt Keeper is looking into the mirror and he's cleaning it off. And he's doing the mirror, mirror on the wall speech. Who's the fearest of them all? And then the mirror breaks and he says he just got 7 years bad luck. And he starts opening up the episode talking about bad luck and the character. And he pulls this old book from his crypt, his collection of books. And he gets all the dust on it. And he opens it up. And again, it's got the EC Comics type opening. And again, this one's called Only Sin Deep. And so the episode opens up. And it's a woman who, she is a lady of the night. And it's Leah Thompson. And she looks really cute, and she's, it's really 80s, early 90s, and she's got her hair all jacked up. And she's walking down, and it cracks me up so bad this whole episode. Like, she was trying to be super tough in it, so her voice, she's got, like, this city, like, East Coast accent with, like, real deep. And I just, that voice, like, there, and she's trying so hard to be tough, I love it. And it just makes me laugh the whole episode every time she would get real into it. And so she's there and she's, she's out working and she's looking in the mirror and she's putting some makeup on, and there's another sex worker or lady of the night talking to her and saying how vain she is.
You know something, honey? If I had a dollar for every time you stood in the mirror admiring your face, I could get off these streets and retire to the Bahamas.
And so they're going to go get some coffee. And then up comes a man who is kind of a pimp-like character. And he makes an offer to Leah Thompson, like, hey, do you need any representation? And she's like, no, you can leave. And, of course, he's upset, but he's not, like, super mad. He was being, he wasn't super angry about it. But he does grab her coat and pulls her back. And she says, you should touch me again. You're going to regret it.
I'm going to say this once. You touch me again, I'll shoot your dick off.
And he's saying how she could use some protection. And she's just ready for him to let go of her. And so he touched her again, so she's pretty upset. And this part's kind of shocking. Like, I didn't really see this coming. I guess she just felt really into whatever she's doing. Because the next scene, it shows her, well, and then also, like, right before that scene, she's looking over and there's, like, a real swanky party going on at a place across the street. Her and her friend are talking about how one day they could get into that. Leah Thompson's character is saying how, she's gonna get herself a real rich guy one day and get off, the job she's doing and just, live it up based on her beauty. So anyway, she goes up to the man who was propositioning her to be her pimp, and she kind of starts to act, like she's interested. And so he's like, okay, good. And so she's trying to make some sort of statement to her friend, and she kind of comes on to him and leads him into this alley. And her friend's watching, like, what is she doing, And so she brings her into this alley. It's a very scary alley. There's, like, smoke and everything coming up. And, and she's coming on to him and kissing him and things like that. you know, like all that. And so she reaches in her purse and she grabs this gun, which I find really bold that this is what she does. She puts the gun to his chest and she says, "Give me your jewelry," because he has all this jewelry. And he's like, "Are you crazy?" And she's like, "Yeah, yeah, I am crazy. Give me your jewelry." And so he's, you know, giving him all the jewelry. She wants the watch. He says, "You know, what do you, not my watch." And she's like, "You know, just give it to me." And so he gives all the jewelry to her. And he's threatening that she won't get away with it. And he goes to grab her. And she, I don't think she really meant to kill him. I think she at least just wanted to get the jewelry so she could get a little more money and get out of her situation, which is kind of what happens in the future here a little bit. She's going to head to a pawn shop. But they get in a little fight here in the alley, and she turns him around and goes to push off, but she pushes off with her hand that has the gun on it, and the gun goes off. So she ends up shooting him kind of in the stomach chest area, and he goes down. But she doesn't seem to be too upset about it. She's like, "All right, yeah, that's what you get." And then she just takes off running and tells her friend that she's a freelancer now. And her friend's like, "Oh, great, awesome, you know, like, thanks for, like, sarcastically, thanks, you know," because the guy didn't seem super bad. I think he took care of her friend pretty well, as far as that whole situation goes. So, the next morning, she's heading into this pawn shop, and it's kind of a unique pawn shop. It's got a lot of rare, not a pawn shop that I've ever been in. It looks more like it would be some sort of oddities shop or something, like an oddity thing, you know, and it's got all these random trinkets and vials and old books. And so she's trying to get this guy to appraise all her jewelry that she just took off that guy. And she's walking around, she's really working that accent, and she's looking around at all these old trinkets and masks, and in walks, you know, through the door a lady, and she's got a mask on, and she's got like a veil that you would wear when you're in mourning. And she's walking in kind of old acting, and she's calling the pawn store owner a bastard and saying that you stole it. And this is, you know, definitely foreshadowing. And so she tries to attack him with her cane, and the pawn shop owner is, you know, "Get out of here." And finally the lady goes and leaves. Didn't really put a huge fight up, but she goes and leaves. And Leah Thompson was kind of watching this, like, she's laughing, like, you get all kinds of crazy people in here, you know. And this pawn guy, he didn't have the best teeth. He didn't really take too good of care of herself. So he's sitting there, he's looking through it with the jeweler's eye and everything. And, you know, she's asking, like, what... Because I guess you pawn the item in, and then you can also come back and buy it back at a different price if you wanted. Before he would go to sell it, you have a certain amount of time before he would put it on the market. So she was, you know, wondering how much it was going to be, you know. And she finds out she has 4 months is the time, which that seems a pretty good amount of time, really, before he can put it on the shelves. I mean, so she's got 4 months, and he says he's not taking the watch. The watch was stolen. It's not worth really what, you know, he doesn't want it in his store. And he's saying, you know, it doesn't matter how pricey this watch is or anything. I don't want it in my store. I can tell it's been stolen and messed with. I don't want to even deal with it. He doesn't want to buy her jewelry. He doesn't care about where she got it. He can tell it was stolen. So he's like, I don't even want to mess with it. So she goes to leave, and she's really angry. And he's like, wait a minute. You know, wait a minute, come back here. There's something that I would like to buy off of you. And right away, she's like, I stopped doing that job last night, you know. And he's like, not that. And he wants her beauty. And she's like, my beauty? All right, sure, whatever. And he offers her $10,000 for to get a cast of her face, like a plaster cast of her face. Which, that's pretty good. I mean, really, that would be hard to pass up. If someone only wants to just get a plaster cast of your face and they'll give you $10,000 in the situation she's in, yeah, that'd be pretty tempting. And he's really flashing those nasty teeth right now. He's got the cash up, and he's, you know, $10,000 cash right here just to get, you know, some of your beauty. And she is intrigued. She's like, all right, let's do this. So he closes up the shop, you know, temporarily, and he's making like this plaster, and he's stirring it all up, and they're in the back room, and it's, you know, there's more masks and things back there. And, you know, it's very interesting to me that this pawn store guy, which I guess he learned it from some sort of trinket he found, but he knows magic and knows what he's, you know, he's doing this for a reason. And there's also other masks of other people, I think other women mostly, up on shelves. And so basically she's saying, okay, so I got 4 months to redeem my beauty if I want it back. you know, as a joke, like you could actually redeem, you know. And he's like, yeah, that's right. And he's on the side while she's not looking at him, and he's over there just waving his hands over the bowl and, you know, doing, you know, whatever he's doing to get what he's wanting. And so he's telling her to hold still, and he goes and puts the mask on her. It looks like oatmeal, a little more thinner than that. But yeah, so you can see, like, there's other masks of, well, I guess it looks like men too. So other people's masks in the shelves as well. And so she gets the mask done. She walks out. She's got her check. She's feeling pretty good. She's got her cash. She's feeling pretty good. And so she's like, all right, well, I got this cash. I'm going to go fix myself up. But in the meantime, the guy is back in the pawn shop while she's doing this to go get, you know, she's going to go get some new clothes and get herself all treated, you know, good. And so he's in the back and he's got candles lit and there's some snakeskin. And he's back there and he's got the plaster of her whole head. And he's humming and chanting over it, blowing some dust in the air, his eyes rolling back in his head. He's getting this whole thing going. And apparently, he has, in one of the rooms in the back of the pawn shop, is his dead wife. And she's in a coffin with a bunch of candles and flowers and things and perfumes going around her. And I guess she'd be pretty well preserved. I don't know. She looks pretty dead. It's like a skeleton with the skin, but she's in a wedding gown looking thing. And I don't know, they don't really say like if she died when they were getting married, but I don't think so. I think he just put her in a white kind of gown. And he's basically wanting to take the beauty of others to bring his dead wife back. And it's kind of funny because I'm thinking he doesn't look super great. Like, I don't know how long it's been. Maybe she died when, you know, like 20 years earlier or something, and he's been trying to do this for a really long time. But I have a feeling his dead wife's going to be a little disappointed when she comes back. He didn't age super well, and he spends a lot of money just to get these casks. I mean, if he had at least 8 of them on that shelf, probably 6 or 8, that's $60,000 to $80,000 he's spending on getting casks of people. And I don't know how many you need. Maybe you need 10. But that's a lot for a little pawn shop. I'm just wondering how he makes that good of money in this kind of town. But, you know, that's fine. Maybe he didn't pay 10 grand for all the other people. Maybe he was feeling generous because he only needs a few masks left. His teeth aren't that great. He's put on some weight. He's kind of balding a little bit. So I don't know how pleased she will be. But he basically, you know, wants to bring her back just like the day they were married. So now we're back to Leah Thompson's character. She goes and she gets herself a spa day. And she's grossly chewing gum while she's getting her hair done, and she's getting, you know, she's reading a magazine, she's getting her makeup done, and she's buying clothes, and she's getting herself all, you know, prettied up so that she can go out and get herself a rich playboy. And actually the hair that she has here, once she gets all nice, it's actually like it looks a lot better than it did earlier. She kind of changes her hair for the party, which doesn't look super great to me. I don't know. But it's very pretty woman, you know, and it kind of, you know, she's dancing around different clothes and looking more like she does normally, like in more Caroline in the City, Leah Thompson. But she's having fun and she's, you know, just in her apartment kind of trying on different clothes and looking for what she wants. And she finds this really cute, like, black dress, and then she kind of ruins her hair a little bit, at least in my opinion. And she gets all dressed for the party and she heads back to that same place that they had looked at the you know, the night or two before. And she gets herself a limo ride over, and she gives a glance to her friend across the street who's super angry looking or somewhat confused. And she walks into this party, and she's got the black dress on and her hair kind of did up. And she's looking around. She's looking around for, you know, for the, like, I guess the richest guy. Or she's looking for whoever's the most well-to-do, or probably whoever's place this is. I think it's more like a building, I don't know, could be a penthouse or something. And there's a lot of people who are all dressed up, kind of black tie, and they're all kind of checking her out and giving her dirty looks a little bit. And then she's, you know, she's looking around and she sees in the distance there's a, well, is that super, there's a blonde guy. I was gonna say handsome, but not real in that, not, I don't know, he's all right. And he's over to the side and he's talking with a blonde woman, and they're obviously a couple, or, you know, working on that, because they're, you know, they're together and they're talking. And he kind of glances over and sees her, and he's instantly smitten. And he points to her like, let's go talk, you know, like, he tells his butler or whoever's there to come bring her over because he wants to talk to her. And so he just abandons this other woman. He's like, okay, bye. And she's like, oh, I thought we were talking. But he just abandons this other woman and goes over to meet Leah Thompson, who has grabbed a glass of champagne and is waiting for him outside on the porch. And he goes over there and he's, you know, saying hi. And she's like, hey. And she's kind of playing hard to get. And she's over there hanging out and he's kind of following her. And she finds out, yeah, okay, yeah, this actually is his place. So yeah, this is his house. I'm assuming it's a penthouse. It looks like they're kind of up on a deck or something. You know, and so she's kind of acting like she's not super impressed, but she definitely has found the one she's wanting to look for because he has the most money. And really, when it comes to relationships, I kind of feel like, do you really want to date the guy who just left the woman that he was probably either dating or came to the party with or was looking forward to see just because he saw another woman? Because he technically ditched that other woman to come over to say hi to you, but she's vain, so I guess it doesn't matter. So he's saying he saw something more exciting and he wanted to come over and talk to her. They kind of do some silly sexual innuendos. The other woman's looking over there kind of like, what's going on? You know, she's not looking super excited or super happy about it. And so she says her name is Sylvia Vane. So Leah Thompson's character's name, Sylvia Vane, V-A-N-E as in weather, she says. And his name is Ronnie Price, which, you know, he's rich. So yeah, Ronnie Price, okay. So then they're talking and she looks over at the other woman watching them. And she looks over and she smacks Ronnie in the face. And he's like, are you crazy? You know, or he calls her a psycho. And she's like, no, I'm just playing hard to get. And he's like, all right. Like, he's kind of, you know, he's into that. He's like, okay. So she goes to get on the elevator to leave. And he goes and grabs her. And he says, you know, it's kind of rude to leave. And she's like, no, you have a nice apartment. I'm going to go. Bye. I'll see you later. Go have fun with whatever you were doing. So then he meets her in the elevator. And he's like, I don't know anything about you. And she says, you know that I'm the girl of your dreams, right?
You knew the second I walked in the room, the second I walked through that door, that I'm the girl of your dreams, right?
And he says, you want to get out of here? And so she's like, all right. So he leaves his own party and like attacks her. He like, when the elevator door closes, it like, he like attacks her neck. You know, like, I guess it's supposed to be sensual, but he like attacks her neck in there. So then it shoots to 4 months later, which now we know is about the time that she's supposed to redeem her beauty if she had a problem or her product, you know, or whatever she've sold. So it's 4 months later. And now they're very happy together and they're living in his house. And he still says she's the girl of his dreams and he's presenting her with a necklace and they're very happy. He's pouring her champagne and they're talking about the night that they met. And he's saying how much she is the girl of his dreams and she's super excited. And she kind of looks over into, there's a little like hand mirror, like on a stand. I guess it's not a hand mirror, but it's on a stand. She looks over and she notices that there's this like one slight little wrinkle on the one side of her face. And, you know, since she is as vain as she is, she's a little concerned about that. I mean, it's nothing to really notice, but I mean, you can, you know, she's a little worried. And so later, they are in bed. You know, and the whole time that he's, you know, they're trying to, you know, do what you do in bed. And she keeps looking in the mirror. You know, she can't even concentrate because she's noticing more and more little wrinkles or fades in her skin. And she's concerned. I don't think he really noticed. But so then now he's saying he's going to be going out of town. It's the next morning. He's going out of town for a few days. And she's kind of looking, she's sitting at her makeup counter looking for some foundation. And you can tell now by the next morning, there's a little more of a wrinkle that's around the eyes, like some crow's feet, and a little bit of sagging skin on her face. The rest of her doesn't look like anything has really changed, but it's mostly her face, which is really the part that she loves about herself the most, I think. So that, you know, that's probably why. And she's kind of half listening to him and not really paying attention. And he's asking if she's okay. And she doesn't really want him to see her. You know, he goes to kiss her goodbye and she kind of flips the light off, you know, saying that she has an acne flare up and that, you know, he doesn't need to look at her. And it doesn't seem to bother him at all. I mean, he hasn't, you know, he's like, oh yeah, that's fine, whatever. But she still won't let him see her. So he leaves on his trip and she ends up going to like a dermatologist's office. I guess she's a little worried about her so-called acne breakout. And for some reason, she's already in an outfit of mourning. I guess it's gotten worse, but it's not super bad. But she's in a mourning, like, she's all black. She's got the black hat with the black veil. And she's waiting around at the doctor's office. And the doctor comes in, and, you know, he says, sit down. And she sits. And he says, well, it's not cancer. So we know that. And she's like, all right. She's like, it's not pituitary disorder. They've ran a bunch of tests. It doesn't her medical record doesn't indicate like any bad like reconstructive surgery or Botox, you know, thinking there would maybe be a reaction to the Botox, you know, or any silicone injections. She's a little offended by that, but it's like, meh, you know, you never know. And this doctor, I mean, dermatology, like he says, is his specialty, and he's thinking it may be glandular and he wants to go to a specialist, but I mean, he does dermatology. He's seen a lot of skin issues. And so it makes me laugh when it's silly whenever she goes, she's like, oh my gosh, look at my face. And she pulls it back and it's not that bad. And he looks like he can't even look at her. He's just like, well, you're under a great deal of stress. And she pulls her hat back and she's like, just look at me. And he can't, like, he kind of smiles and looks away. And it's really not that bad. As a dermatologist, I think you'd see a lot worse, which makes it's kind of silly, you know, because yeah, she just has like mild wrinkles. Yeah, it's a little stressful because of her age. Apparently, you find out later she's only 21.
48 hours ago, I could have had any man I wanted. Now I can't even get arrested. I'm 21 years old. What am I going to look like tomorrow?
So this is all happening in about the last 48 hours. And so the doctor's trying to calm her down. He's like, I'll try to explain this to you as best as I can. He's like, basically your skin is aging fast. But it looks like to me it's mostly like her face. But he's just saying it's not that he's saying it's basically that she's aging fast, but it couldn't maybe be irreversible. So he asked her, you know, is there any time within the last 6 months or so where something happened that when you did something to your skin or you did anything? And that's when it kind of hits her, you know, because he asked, like, have you did anything to your skin or come in contact with the toxic material? And it kind of hits her, oh, okay, the pawn shop. And then I also saw that woman who kind of looks how I look now coming into the store. And so it kind of clicks on her, you know? And she's like, ah, I got to go back. So she heads over back to the pawn shop. And he's helping a customer. And she comes in. She's got her little ticket. She's still got the ticket to get her thing. And she's telling at the customer, like, don't work with him or whatever. He's horrible. And she says, I want it back. Here's my ticket. And $10,000 plus 12%. So she's got the money. Because, I mean, now she's dating that guy. So she's, I don't know, you know, if she's got a job or not. But, like, she's got the money. I guess she took it out of his bank account or something. And she wants it back. And then he says, you know, you didn't look too carefully at this. The time limit is 4 months. And this part kind of pisses me off. Because, like, even I watched it, I was like, what? I'm, like, yelling. Because it's 4 months from the date of the 4th. And today is the 5th. So it's the day after she could return it, and the problem didn't even happen until 48 hours ago. So she basically would have had like a 24-hour window in order to redeem her, you know, her beauty back. Which, I mean, yeah, I know it's Tales from the Crypt rules, and you're not supposed to be vain and everything, and it's, you know, she's learning her lesson. But it's like, that's a horrible return policy if it's gonna start to mess you up 24 hours before you have to actually figure it out and get over there. So that irritated me a little bit, but I was like, fine. But I was still like, that's, come on. You know, and so he's kind of like, no, today's the 5th. You know, you're a day late. You can't do it. And she's so, you know, she's like, I can't believe this. You know, it's horrible. And he's like, sorry, you missed the deadline. So she gives, you know, how much money? She's got a gun. She wants, you know, she's really throwing everything out. She's, how much money do you want? You know, screw your deadline. She points a gun at him. And then as she's kind of, you know, and he's like, it's not for sale. You know, you're done. I can't help you. And then right as she's pointing the gun from behind her, a cop comes in, you know, and so she puts the gun down immediately and like hides it and puts her veil back down. And the cop's like, hey man, you know, I'm talking to him and bringing him a coffee. And so she goes and leaves behind him. And the cop kind of comes, gives him a coffee. And the pawn shop guy puts a little alcohol in their coffees before he goes back on the police beat there. And so she goes back to the penthouse or the apartment, and she starts grabbing as much jewelry and things that she can. She's gonna try to win this pawn shop guy over, and so she's just grabbing everything, anything that would be remotely valuable, and putting them in a bag. And as she's doing this, as she's going to leave and grabbing everything, her boyfriend comes home, and he doesn't recognize her. And I kind of see why her face has gotten worse. She still has the same kind of like body type, and her voice isn't too much different. But, I mean, she's also ruining his apartment. She's not just running around. I mean, she's breaking things and breaking windows and, you know, and so you'd be pretty alarmed. He comes walking in with his stuff and she's grabbing everything and so, you know, not looking at him and just throwing things around and breaking windows and stuff. So, you know, he's like, who are you? Like, why are you here? Why are you on, or why are you in my house? And so she's, you know, she says, you know, she's like, Ronnie, hey, you know, it's me. And he's like, how do you know my name? Like, he doesn't recognize her at all. And so he goes to call the police, and he's on the phone, you know, to report a burglary, and she pulls out the gun and she shoots him. And, you know, the first shot hits him, second shot breaks the glass behind him. I think it hits him too. I don't know, somehow it breaks the glass too. But what I was thinking is, so she shoots him and he dies. And it's pretty loud right there, you know, right, she's right there. So I'm like, that poor 911 officer, or operator, the poor 911 operator is freaking out as soon as they're done, as soon as he got shot. Like, oh my gosh, you know, what's your location? Who are, you know, can you hear me? Can you hear me? So I'm like, ooh, that's going to be a rough day for that operator. That is a tough job. So, I mean, I, you know, props to those who do that, because that's not easy. And so she, you know, unloads pretty much every bullet into him. It's pretty gory. You can see how they did the last shot there. You can kind of see how they did like a blank, like a flash shot on his shirt with like a blood packet. But it's pretty good. And now she's looking pretty wrinkly in her face, and she grabs the money and she grabs her bag full of jewelry and she takes off, and he's laying there bleeding to death. And so she goes back over to the pawn shop. It's closed. And she's trying to open the door. She can't. There's a huge lock on it. She runs around the back. Still can't get in. Huge locks. He puts big locks on his doors. She gets a trash can, like a metal trash can, and she's hitting the door. And it breaks open. Which it breaks more like the lock, like the actual switch on the door frame and not the lock itself. So it just kind of like busts the door on to the side. And she goes in there and she's got her veil on and she's trying to find this pawn shop guy. And she sees all the other faces in the shelf and she's looking at them and she's walking around and she sees her face laying there next to all these candles, putting the veil really close to the candles, waiting for that to light on fire. And so she goes into the side room, and that's where she sees the coffin. And so there's a woman, like there's an actual woman in the coffin in her dress. So it looks like whatever he's been doing has worked. So the woman is alive. I mean, she's not awake, it doesn't look like, but she's laying there and she looks like a whole person. And so she walks up to this woman and, you know, she goes to touch her, kind of feel her hand, and then the pawn shop guy grabs her. And he says, you know, that's the way she used to look. And she was so beautiful. And he just says he needs other women's beauty to keep her that way. Okay, so I guess it is all women that he was using. And he says it's a small price to pay, but it's still a lot of money. And so she's like, I don't care. I don't care what you're doing. I want my face back. You know, I want my beauty back. And she starts throwing a bunch of jewelry on the table. She's like, that's worth more than $100,000. Just take it. You know, I want my beauty back. And then she pulls her face back to kind of show him. And it looks pretty bad now. It's not, you know, it looks like her face is kind of melting a little bit, wrinkly. And even he seems a bit of, like, freaked out by it. You know, like, he's in shock. And then he's like, okay, yeah, sure, I could do that. I could give you your beauty back, but he's getting really irritated, you know? He's like, if that's what you really want, I can give you your beauty back. And then he pulls out a piece of a newspaper by the New York Globe. And this part is kind of weird, too, because it's like, he shows a New York Globe, and it's a front page, and it says, Playboy iced by Gold Digger. Now, this just happened. This is a quickly published newspaper. I mean, this show's great. Don't get me wrong. I love Tales from the Crypt, but I'm just like, the way that some things move on the show, I'm like, this just happened, like, 3 hours earlier, and they already have a, I guess maybe he really didn't have a lot of money, but that's a lot to get it into print and get it out for everyone to get already, for him to have a copy. But it says, Playboy iced by Gold Digger, and then it says, Millionaire Ronald Price found shot to death. Police launch citywide manhunt for a suspected mistress. And so she sees that her, you know, she's on there, and she's like, oh no. You know, she realizes if she gets her face back, now she's going to have to fight for, you know, she's going to have to go to jail, because they'll know what she looks like. There's no running away from that. They have her face all over the papers and everything. And so now she's like, well, great. So it's either, you know, I stay ugly, or I get my face back, and then I go to jail for probably, you know, a really long time. And so during this time, the cop comes back. It's the next day, and he's got some more cups of coffee. And so the pawn shop guy goes out there to kind of say hey, and they, you know, they talk about the coffee again. You know, alcohol in the coffee. They're looking over the story in the paper, you know, and he kind of mentions it to the cop. And then the cop kind of says, well, you know, she left the murder weapon on the floor. So it's going to be pretty easy to find her. You know, she was pretty sloppy in it because she just wanted to get out of there. And so her fingerprints were on the gun. And then they already have a record of her being, soliciting. So, you know, she'd be probably going away for quite a while because she's got multiple counts. The cop says it's a one-way trip to the electric chair. I don't know about that. I mean, in the 90s, I guess they did a lot more. It seems like a lot in the show a lot so far. And some of the other ones, it's a lot of electric chair. And so she's listening to the cop talk about this, and she's, you know, crying a little bit and looking at her face mask. And she decides to take it with her so she can kind of hold on to her beauty. Because I guess she's made up her mind. She's not going to get her face back because she doesn't want to go to jail. Though I'm not sure how you go and get a job. I mean, I'm just thinking too much into this one, I think. I don't know. I think I'm just thinking too much into this one. How do you get a job? But I guess it doesn't matter. It's a show. Let it go, Melissa. Anyway. So she goes to take off with her mask and she goes out the back door and she leaves. And she's not looking. I mean, she covers her face up and her body's not old, but she kind of... And she's not walking bad, but she's kind of walking fast and she's kind of hunkered down a little bit and just trying to get wherever she's going to get, I guess. And as she's walking across one of the crosswalks, she runs into her old friend who bumps into her and knocks the plaster mask onto the ground, breaking it. And, you know, this her friend is, you know, cusses her out and is like, calls her old and ugly.
Why don't you watch where you're going, you old, ugly, trifling bitch?
And everyone's kind of gathered around and Leah Thompson's character is kind of crying over the broken mask and because it was the last of her beauty. And she's trying to put it back together. And why she's like sitting in a wet gutter kind of thing and trying to put it back together as everyone kind of watches. And some people walk past, but there's still quite a group kind of watching her there. And then it kind of pulls out and looks at the city. And that's how it ends. So she's stuck pretty much with, you know, just being ugly somewhere in New York. And that's what she gets for being vain. Sylvia Vane. Yeah, so, you know, then it cuts back to the Crypt Keeper and, you know, he's putting some, looks like rubber cement on his face. I think it's supposed to be beauty cream, but it looks like rubber cement. And so he's talking about that and he kind of wraps up the episode. So the best Crypt Keeper pun is... Crypt Keeper, you're so punny.
Oh, Sylvia. Hey, kiddies. Guess you heard the old saying, if looks could kill... So she did. Just goes to show you, if you want to sell yourself, take a look in the mirror first.
That's a pretty good one, I guess. Crypt Keeper got a real good laugh out of it. So yeah, so that's the end of the episode. So here's a little bit of trivia. There's just a couple little things here from IMDb about the episode. Before the Crypt Keeper introduces only Sandeep in the beginning of the episode, he recites Mirror Mirror Chant, which breaks a mirror and says that he just bought 7 years bad luck, like I had mentioned in the beginning. And the show, Tales from the Crypt, lasted for about 7 years. So it was a little bit of like a... Like, I mean, they couldn't have predicted, but it's kind of interesting to think about. And then another one that I thought, this one was kind of interesting. According to Leah Thompson, she found it difficult to do the love scenes with Brett Cullen, who plays Ronnie Price, because he's her close friend in real life. And she also had difficulty because Howard Duch is her husband. And so he was directing her. So he was kind of directing her love scenes with this other guy. And so it was just really hard. She had to redub her dialogue and the scenes in post-production for the love scenes. It's like, because it was so hard to kind of say that stuff to her good friend in front of her husband. So I thought that was kind of interesting. Yeah, so that was season 1, episode 4, Only Sandeep. And this is the Good Evening Kitties podcast, and thank you for listening. And also, stay tuned for the next podcast, which will be season 1, episode 5, Lover Come Hack to Me.
I just had quite a scare. I actually thought my heart was beating.